We will be on the following issues. First is work session on House Bill 5015, the Economic Development Department's budget. Next will be Senate Bill 5545, it's an expenditure limitation for this biennium. Next after that will be House Bill 2153, Lottery Back Bonding Authority. And then the last bill will be House Bill 2088. Might indicate to the members that we've been excused for the first half hour of floor session so we can stay in committee here today and try to move on some of these bills. Ms. Lamont, who just left the room, yes. We're trying to get going. Huh? Okay. Mr. Scott, would you come back up, please? Mr. Field, do you want to come back up? Okay. Ms. Lamont, you were on some recommendations yesterday.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you refer to my Economic Development Department budget handout, we had gotten through Section 2B, and we are now on Section 2C, which has to do with the other funds. My recommendation is that we increase the governor's budget by $7,087,939, which includes the following actions. Reduce $2,327 for Attorney General reduction. Eliminate the governor's bond package proceeds of $12,656,205 for Channel B pay. And add bond package proceeds of $19,746,471 for Channel B in House Bill 2153. What that reflects is the increase in the bonding authority from $10 million to $17 million, $17.7 million for the channel deepening. That's my recommendation in that section.
Question, sir.
Representative Butler.
And the $19,746,000 includes the interest on the $17.7 million, is that correct?
No, Mr. Chair. Representative Butler, that is the debt service, I mean, that is the bond proceeds plus the cost related with issuing.
Oh, okay. So it's cost, just the cost, the proceeds and the cost.
Correct.
And that is the 17.7, and its proportionate share of the proceeds, or of the cost to sell the bond.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Getting a look from Jack, I wanted to make sure that they were.
Yes. I guess I would, that was my question, why 17.7 to 19.7? Did it cost $2 million to do bonds?
Mr. Creel, would you like to respond?
For the record, Kelly Creel with the Department of Administrative Services, Mr. Chair, Senator Cutub. This is a net of several actions. The governor proposed $55 million, of which $45 million was infrastructure, $10 million was for channel deepening. And then the subcommittee is proposing to raise the limit from $10 million to $17.7 million for a channel deepening and also add the pipeline resources in there. I think that's the reason we have the difference in cost.
Mr. Chair,
actually, it might help if you look at page 2 of my spreadsheet. It is a combined action there, and if you read across the line that says add House Bill 2153 bond package, you have $4.2 million in lottery back debt service. $19.7 million in other funds, which is the $17.7 million of bond proceeds and the cost associated with bonding. And then you have $52.3 million in non-limited other funds bonding proceeds for the remainder of the packages.
That essentially, Mr. Chair, means that it's $2 million the cost associated with bonding the $17.7 million for channeling is $2 million.
It's for the $76.2 million. So it doesn't bear a proportionate share.
It includes the proportionate share for the channel beacon and the other
associated. All other. So it's really not proportionate just on the 17.7. That's right. The entire cost for the bonding package. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Once again, Brother, did you have a question or a administrator?
Yeah, it was just to make sure that it, and I'm still wondering, I guess, why it doesn't bear its proportional share in each of the various places where you're just elected to show it all in one place.
The cost for issuing the bonds is shown as other funds. What makes this a little bit confusing is the way that the bond proceeds for channel deepening is being handled versus the bond proceeds for the other bonding, so that you end up having a combined other fund total for channel deepening and the debt service cost, the bonding cost.
Still, I'm still wondering why it would be that each of the various functions did not bear their proportionate share, whether it was for a pipeline or for the debt.
Representative
channel.
Butler, they do.
Okay,
it's
fine.
How the dollars are being reported in funding categories that makes it look like it's all in one area.
Oh, okay, thank you very much. Okay. The other funds category.
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Further questions? Not the chair would move the LFO recommendation on item 2C, other funds increase the government's budget by $7,087,939. This includes the following actions as presented by LFO and the reductions in eliminating and restoring back the bond package for the channel deepening and the total of $19,746,471 as contained in House Bill 2153. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Item 2D, federal funds.
This one is misleading, Mr. Chair. There is a reduction of $130 for Attorney General reductions.
Chair, I'd move the federal funds reduction of the governor's budget by $130 for Attorney General reductions.
Senator Kutub now moves the committee adopt the LFO recommendation on item 2D, federal funds reduce the governor's budget by $130 for Attorney General reduction. Is there discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Item 2E, non-limited other funds.
We have discussed the primary change in this area. This recommendation to increase the governor's budget by $7,300,000 based on the following. Eliminate the governor's bond proceeds package of $45 million for infrastructure projects and add bond package proceeds of $52,300,000 for infrastructure and the Coos Gate pipeline in House Bill 2153.
Mr. Chair, I would move LFO's recommendation for letter E to eliminate the governor's bond package proceeds by $45 million for infrastructure and add the bond package proceeds of $52,300,000 for infrastructure and the Coos Gate pipeline in House Bill 2153.
You've heard the recommendation in the motion. The question is, shall the committee approve item 2E, non-limited other funds, increase the governor's budget by $7,300,000 based on the following, eliminate the governor's bond package proceeds of $45 million for infrastructure projects and add bond package $52,300,000 for infrastructure in the Tuesday pipeline as contained in House Bill 2153. Representative Butler.
And we have already approved on item 2C the additional $2 million for the bond cost issuance and on those $52.3 million as are being presented to us in 2E.
We have.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? That has been so true.
And item F, I'm recommending that we make it as a following other adjustment. Approve a self-funded reclassification for the regional development officers and the Arts and Progress Board executive directors. Approve two self-funded FTE for international promotion activities, including wood products. Approve one FTE and 114,617 other funds to support the expanded infrastructure bonding project. And approve one FTE and 154,290 other funds to support international travel and trade and promotional activities through the Tourism Commission.
Okay, you've heard the recommendation.
So moved.
Representative Schrader now moves the committee adopt item 2F. Make the following other adjustments. Approve self-funded reclassifications for the regional development officers and the Arts and Progress Board executive directors. Approve 2.0 self-funded FTE for international promotion activities, including wood products. Approve one FTE and $114,617 other funds to support expanded infrastructure bonding and projects. And approve one FTE and 154,290 other funds to support international travel and trade promotion activities through the Tourism Commission. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? None has been so approved. Ms. Lamont, budget notes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Now we move into budget notes, and there are a variety of different budget notes. In addition to what I have in front of you, you should have three separate pages of recommended budget notes, some of which are mutually exclusive, so we will need to have some discussion on the budget notes that the committee wishes to adopt. Also, the budget notes that are in the handouts have not been run past the co-chairs. There wasn't the opportunity to do so. The decision was to allow the committee to make their recommendations and then to obtain co-chair approval.
Okay. Would you like to get on the committee, please?
Budget note number one is a standard budget note that is being added to all of the community solutions team agencies. You saw this same budget note when you, or I guess it wasn't in this committee, but the committee that did the Department of Administrative Services saw this budget note, and I believe there's the same one in the housing budget. It clarifies the responsibilities related to the community solutions team activities and what the expectations are, and I believe either Representative Schrader or Representative Patrick could speak to this.
Okay. Do you have any comment on this budget note? This is the one to empower the local regional people to be decision makers.
Good budget note. Good budget note. We included in all
work.
I'd move the budget note number one related to community solutions team.
Representative Patrick now moves that the committee approve the budget note identified as note one related to community solutions team. Representative Butler.
Point of clarification, where does the best sufficient authority working
the second paragraph down, the regional field
should
have clear and direct access.
Okay, I'm sorry, I was reading strictly from the first, where it just talks about local level for problem solving, working closely. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, is there further discussion? Is there objection to adopting the first budget note? Not, it's been so approved.
Mr. Chair, there is a related budget note that was proposed by Representative Patrick. It should be in the stack of material that was handed out. And I will read it to you. in funding the activities of the regional partnership pilot projects and the permanent partnerships that replace them, the Economic Development Department shall ensure that there is no duplication of funding or responsibilities between regional staff and the functions and activities of the Community Solutions Team regional coordinator's positions funded in the Department of Administrative Services. In particular, the department should not fund any staffing at the regional level to coordinate Community Solutions Team functions or responsibilities.
Administrator.
I like this budget note. I think it makes it very clear that we're not building any bureaucracy. We're just having people at the local level help empower the local community to interact with state government, and there shouldn't be need for a whole lot of extra staffing at that level. So I would move adoption of that particular budget note.
Administrator moves that the committee approve the budget note identified by sponsorship representative package. Discussion. Representative
Butler. Mr. Chair, there will still be, the Department of Administrative Services will still administer a portion of the Community Solutions Team. My concern is to just clarify that this just says that there is no duplicative efforts at the Department of Administrative Service level with the other members of the Community Solutions Team that are actually solving problems.
Correct.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the adoption of this budget note? If not, it's been so approved. Mr. Mark?
Budget note number two related to small business. In allocating funding to the Small Business Development Center Network above the proposed base level funding, the Economic Development Commission shall give high priority to funding the initiatives proposed by the Small Business Development Center Network. The funded initiatives should support the extension of business assistance to underserved rural and distressed communities and should also extend services that encourage business ownership by minorities and women. The initiatives must also be collaborative in nature, supporting the seamless service delivery across the grants in the
1997-99
program. And who's this budget note from? Mr. Chair, I believe it's from the department, and it was intended to clarify discussions that the committee was having regarding the funding levels for the Small Business Development Network.
Does this impact the funding for the Small Business Development Center?
No, Mr. Chair. What it does is it sets the parameters within which that funding is provided, which is
Does it give the department an opportunity to cut back or reduce the money to the Small Business Development Centers?
There's nothing in this budget note that would do that. What this does is it clarifies the priorities that the department or the commission will use in allocating additional resources to the Small Business Development Center Network.
Okay, Chair Representative Butler.
My point of clarification, by way of a June 10th letter directed to yourself and members of the subcommittee from Director Scott, we're given assurance to members of the committee that the subcommittee that the Small Business Development Center Network and the department support together the Economic Development Commission's proposed budget for the Community Development Fund. This includes an allocation of $1.8 million base for the Small Business Development Centers, and then the department will work with the network to identify $700,000 from sources within the governor's recommended budget to fund activities and initiatives of the network or the individual centers that meet the goals of the Economic Development Commission's direction for the Small Businesses Assistance Network. And that is the commitment that is being made to us by Director Scott effective June 10th. I just wanted to make sure that that still stands.
Okay.
It is not a part of the actual budget note, but it is part of the record.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Now, the chair would move that the committee adopt budget note 2 related to small business. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved.
Budget note number 3 related to housing rehabilitation. The Economic Development Department is directed to work with the Department of Housing and Community Services to review the most cost-effective and efficient means to provide public support and to leverage private funding for single-family housing assistance to low-income Oregonians. In making these changes, the department must consult with all interested parties and report back to the next legislative assembly on improvements that had been made for Oregon's housing rehabilitation delivery system.
And who is the originator of this request?
I believe it was a joint request from the department and from the Department of Housing.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Butler.
Senator Yeed is unable to be with us as a result of the fact that she's testifying in another location at this particular time. First of all, she wanted to add the word with and after the word work with on the first line.
You sure it's not four?
And then in the last full sentence, she makes the following changes where it says, in making these changes, she requests that before making any changes, and rules of funding, the department must consult with all interested parties and report back to the next legislative assembly on proposed improvements for Oregon's housing rehabilitation delivery system. I'm told by Director Repline that there may be some difficulty with that language, and he's had an opportunity to visit with Senator Yee. I would like to have some clarification on that to make sure that Senator Yee's concerns are in fact being addressed. Her concern was that the rural housing issues were being met, as well as the single family low income housing assistance for Oregonians.
Mr. Creel, could you step aside and let Mr. This report is not being discussed in budget note 3 relating to housing rehabilitation. Representative Butler has some questions. Representative Butler.
The question is, would before making any changes in rules or funding of the department, would that in some way hamper or restrict the department before modifying any rules?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Butler, for the record, Bob Refine, Director of Housing and Community Services. I think the issue, sir, is in talking to Mr. Scott, the way that this is a budget that obviously affecting his department, not mine, but his activities that currently are involving rural development within his CPCG money is something that his department and I and my department have been talking about integrating and passing over to me, so we have a kind of consolidated rehabilitation package plan in the state of Oregon. With that, there are some changes being contemplated as to does the system work today? If it does, how well does it work? And if it doesn't, what should we do to improve that system? I think the concerns, and Mr. Scott obviously can speak for himself, is that as we have that discussion, trying to develop a better consolidation of my real rehabilitation dollars and his, we need to have some latitude to redefine how that money is going to be used. His concern is that it might deter or the inability to have that discussion as a budget note reads until the next legislative session. So for all practical purposes, if it's deemed to not been working well, then we're kind of hamstrung not to do anything, either not doing anything for the next 2 years or continue doing it poorly. That's the concern.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the suggestion that Senator Yee made in that regard was that perhaps report back to the interim e-board or the legislative session if it's still in session. Would that be a possibility?
I'll be real candid with you. You know, there's a lot of budget notes that goes in that says you'll report back to e-board. And e-board is case of overkill. They bring a report in, if you've ever sat in an e-board meeting, a presentation lasts less than 10 minutes. You got a report basically in front of you, no other information. And it makes about as much sense as nothing, quite frankly. Now, if it had substance or meaning to it, I could support it. But I don't know. All these reports coming back to E-Board, it feels good. And nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. But it doesn't do a single thing. Because when the E-Board meets, it gets a 10-minute report, the gavel is banged, and you move on to the next one. And there's no substance, there's no fully understanding what the report is even about. And so if you're going to have somebody report to somebody, then have them go back to a standing committee, such as the trade committee or economic development or housing, or send it to whoever else you want. But E-Board does not deal with it. I'll really be candid with you.
And I think that's an excellent point, Mr. Chair. I guess the concern that I've got is I hear that today that there is a rather substantive change that may take place in the interim, which would include the consolidation of some of the programs of both housing and the economic development relative to this rehabilitation program. And perhaps there should be an interim report then made as that continues, as that consolidation and enhancement continues, so that there is some oversight, although again interim oversight, and some report made to that interim, sir.
Then develop a budget, though, reserving X amount of dollars in the E-Board and making it contingent upon a report for the release of the funds. Don't Mickey Mouse it with another report. We got so damn many reports we can fill up this building five times over with.
Okay. Well, this is on behalf of Senator Yee, and I from what we've heard.
I know my good friend from Albany likes to have him report back, and that's just a mechanism to get him to their friendly faces.
Mr. Chair, one thing we could do is to request that they report back to the Interim Planning Economic Development Committee and to the next legislature if this committee is wanting a little bit more oversight.
I'll still move that, Mr. Chair.
Representative Schrader now moves that we adopt budget note number 3 related to housing rehabilitation, with the amendments proposed by LFO staff to report back to the Trade and Economic Development Committee and also the report back to the next session of the legislature. Is there any discussion, Senator Duke?
If I understand this budget note right, they're supposed to go out and get this private funding and do all this stuff. Oh, we're getting awful excited for who we gave a dollar to. I mean, if my recollection is correct, we gave them a whole dollar in their housing fund to keep a fund open so they could go out and recruit.
No, that was
that's something different.
That was
something
different.
Oh, but we put a dollar in the housing fund too. We did two of those, $1.
Chairman, you put $2 in for the general fund and other funds for food banks.
So they could go out and raise money.
And the other reservation put was a dollar available for the housing trust fund in the sense that something could cure your camp was, I think, the ending balance.
Yeah.
Jim said we could solve some of their problems, we just gave them money. You know, and let them go actually out and build. I think it's great to send them out to try to get the private funding and everything, but
they would be able to come back to the E-Board, say some federal program came into existence, they'd be able to come back to the E-Board for expenditure authorization to seek additional funds.
Lots and lots of reports and stuff.
If they have an opportunity to get money, that's a little different than just coming back and giving a report for the sake of the report.
Good.
Okay, is there further discussion? Is there objection? That has been so approved. Budget note number 4, related enterprise note.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this budget note was developed to address some concerns about the kind of coordination that's going on at the local level between the enterprise zone sponsors, which is local government, tax assessors, and other interested parties. And the budget note says, the Economic Development Department is directed to review the Oregon Enterprise Zone Program for effectiveness and to report to the next legislative assembly on any problems identified, including but not limited to issues involving the costs and responsibilities of local government sponsors, tax assessors, and participants.
say you've heard the explanation, is there discussion?
Is that coming from?
One of the issues that was raised by myself was that Josephine County Assessor Doris Trager had contacted me on the creation of the enterprise zone. The county government, in essence, sets it up with the Department of Economic Development, and the county assessor is required to send out an assessor to determine if, in fact, they're valid to receive their special assessment. But there's no paying to the county assessor for that service. So they're, in essence, that's exposure of the county government saying, we want an enterprise zone, and then the county assessor has to be the enforcement person. What this budget note attempts to do is have the whole procedure reviewed and report back to the next session that looks at what the cost is there in fact a cost check or not. If there isn't, then probably just keep the status quo.
When it's just someone knew what they were asking for there.
Pardon me?
Just when it's just someone knew. You're on top of it. Yeah.
So move budget motion.
Representative Schrader now moves that we adopt budget note number 4 related to enterprise zones. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Item 4.
Turning to your handout if we could finish.
Oh, okay.
The budget note from Senator Yee, the first budget note with the approval of the committee, we would put into the budget report for Senate Bill 1129 as opposed to into this bill. The Economic Development Department will report to the Emergency Board Corpus to November 1 on its progress in selecting a contractor to assist Oregon businesses in facilitating trade with China. The department will report to the emergency board every 6 months thereafter on the activities of the consultants and on the progress towards the establishment of a trade office in Shanghai, China. And as I said, that will go in Senate Bill 1129 if the committee so approves.
Jay, you've heard the presentation. Is there discussion? All right. If you'd move on to the next one, House Bill 5015.
Actually, there is a related note to this that Representative Butler is proposing to put into House Bill 5015, which is this budget. And that basically says that if for any reason Senate Bill 1129 or the language therein does not pass,
that one is not approved because I have a discussion with.
Okay.
Okay. That footnote is being withdrawn. Sir, right. The Senator Yee.
All right.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, do you want me to explain the budget note, or is it self-explanatory that the department needs to report to the emergency board?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. We've already discussed
yes.
it. So, okay.
Do you want me to move for adoption of the
No, committee? Because that goes in Senate Bill 1129.
The committee would have to approve it.
Has 1129 moved?
It has moved. But since we have the department in front of us, we can add the budget note
okay.
to that bill without bringing the bill back.
Okay, Senator Yee now moves to Senate Bill 1129. Be included with the budget note identified as the Economic Development Department. A report to the Emergency Board closes November 1st, 99 on its progress in selecting the contractor to assist Oregon businesses in facilitating trade with China. The department will report to the Emergency Board every 6 months thereafter on the activities of the consultant and on progress towards the establishment of a trade office in Shanghai, China. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Schrader.
Based on our earlier discussion about the effectiveness of such a report, I was wondering, every 6 months would seem a bit onerous to me.
Personally, I'm going to oppose it. Budget note, I think it is overkill to require an agency to come in every 6 months. I don't have any difficulty in accepting the November 1st report
and stating forth the reasons on what they're going to do. But every 6 months, I'm not here to micromanage agencies.
Oh,
for the discussion.
Mr. Chairman, this was to keep the emergency board informed about the progress, because we are going to set up an office by year 2001, so they can report how they are doing with the consultant, what kind of office they are locating, and give us an idea what the, where the final office selection is going to be.
Okay, I think we'll take a roll call vote on this budget note. Is there further discussion?
Representative, point of clarification, Mr. Chair, under House Bill 5015, item 2B, subpart 6, reduced $63,000 to staff support to the China Trade Office, included in Senate Bill 1129, and includes transfers from the Community Development Fund under sub-item 2 above. The issue then is that we are transferring out of the Economic Development Department all of the funds, that's $230,000, including the carryover, $167,000 carryover plus the 63. We're transferring out, this is the last of the funds that would fund Senate Bill 1129, assuming that it passes.
Correct.
And I just want to make sure that if 1129 does not pass, then the $230,000 worth of funds becomes general, becomes open economic development funds for the OECD.
Well, Mr. Chair, actually that money ceases to be available for the department to use. It becomes part of unallocated.
Carryover. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
But you don't need to assume it's not going to pass. It's such a good bill. It will pass.
Right. Okay. Is there further discussion? Why don't you call the roll on this?
Yee.
Aye.
Lynn.
Aye.
Duke.
No.
Heck.
No.
Trader.
No.
Scotland.
Aye.
Patrick.
Aye.
Dart.
Aye.
No. The motion failed.
Should I amend it to do what the chair says to report in November?
That would be fine.
And not,
but I don't think we need the 6 month interval.
Okay.
I like Mr. Scott, but I prefer not seeing that money.
So we'll amend it to say report in November about.
Let's just work on the Economic Development Department will report to the Emergency Board closest to November 1st, 1999 on its progress in selecting a contractor to assist Oregon businesses in facilitating trade with China. How's that?
Do you want them to report periodically?
No.
I'm sure it's an
important.
Mr. Chairman, the department will voluntarily make sure we brief Senator Yee every 6 months. And anyone else who would like to a copy of the report, please let us know and we'll provide
it.
Senator Yee now moves that we amend the budget note to read, the Economic Development Department will report to the Emergency Board closest to November 1st, 1999 on the progress in selecting a contractor to assist Oregon businesses in facilitating trade with China. Representative Butler.
I just wanted to make sure that Mr. Scott had a copy of my budget note, which Senator Yee has rejected, that he could go ahead and keep as some parameters and guidelines. Should for any reason the 1129, Senate Bill 1129, be modified or not come out exactly as Senator Yee would like.
Okay.
Please be positive.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. All right. If there's no objection, the motion for the budget note is adopted to Senate Bill 1129. Okay, Ms. Lamont?
Mr. Chair, we have two budget notes that essentially do the same thing, and I have not been advised that either proponent has withdrawn them. So let me sort of characterize what the issues are. The Economic Development Department has passed statutory reporting requirements that have to do with return on investment, jobs created, a variety of other kinds of statutory requirements. During this interim, the agency's responsibilities were restructured. There is a bill that was a joint effort by that committee, that work group, that revised the reporting requirements. The issue is really, what is it that the legislature needs in order to evaluate the effectiveness of the delivery of Economic Development Department services? Senator Yee is proposing that up to $1 million of funds in the community development fund be withheld, contingent on her budget note that directs them to report to the emergency board on plans involving performance reporting. Representative Butler has a budget note that proposes that the agency will work with the Joint Trade and Economic Development Committee and report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee as appropriate on the criteria for allocating resources within the Community Development Fund and the methods to evaluate performance. His budget note also specifies that the Commission and the Joint Legislative Committee on Trade and Economic Development will develop a report by no later than June 30th, 2000, so that any necessary legislation can be prepared.
And Mr. Chair, I think that my resolution with Representative Yee, or Senator Yee, I beg your pardon, was that she would withdraw her emergency board increase allocation set aside of the lottery funds of expenditure limitation of $1 million in exchange for the note that Ms. Lamont has just read. So I dropped my pessimistic Senate Bill 1129 footnote, and Senator Yee, I believe, has agreed to the approach that I have taken here in this House Bill 5015 Economic Development Program Performance Reporting Budget Note.
Senator Yee?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it's important for Economic Development Department to report to us regarding their methods of determining criteria on allocating funding and some kind of success measure. They need to tell us, because I'm very frustrated with the report on the different data we receive. I would like to see we hold back $1 million on the small business, the new program, before we give them funding. But according to Representative Butler, instead of holding back money, work with the audit committee to make sure we have a good common sense report that we can all understand and use as a measurement. So,
and
we don't want to in any way jeopardize small business funding, because they request $2.5 million. And I think that they have shown their cost effectiveness and would like to see them receive the money. So I withdraw my request for money. So I'm in agreement with them.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have volunteered, and Mr. Scott knows of my desire in the interim to work in any way that I can to make sure that the small business development and these goals and laudable objectives are met. And I certainly agree to work with all members of all of these subcommittees, including the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, to assist in any way we can to make sure that Senator Yee's concerns are being fully addressed and fully met without setting a dollar limitation thereon. Thank you, Senator Yee. I appreciate your
recommendation.
Now you'll have a CPA. Come on.
The CPA who isn't going to work during the interim, right?
I'm tired. they're going to see more of me than they want to see.
Well, Lee, Susie, I wanted to thank you. You really captured the discussion, I thought, very well in the budget.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity of working with all members of the committee that have had a great deal of input on it. Thank you.
Yes. So, Administrator?
Just a question. I generally certainly support this concept. The only question I guess I'd have for the committee and for Mr. Scott is there are certain programs, the bulk of the money going for the Community Development Fund will be going into the Special Public Works Fund and the Safe Water Drinking Act and the wastewater water type of thing. It's a little tough to measure job creation, I think, based on those. So I think the sense of the committee would be that we wouldn't be able for job creation coming out of that, but perhaps some other measure of how that money is helping that community and making a big impact. Is that correct? People are nodding their heads.
Certainly that's my understanding, and I think that's why having the department work with an interim Trade and Economic Development Committee is vital, because they have more than one mission. It's not just short-term job creation or long-term job creation, but there is also the concern that Senator Duke raised about how we measure performance over time. What I have been hearing from the community is a whole lot of concern about what it is that we're doing and how we act accurately, not only measure it, but report it.
Right.
So I'm hopeful that this budget note will enable them to come up with something that's acceptable to the next legislative assembly.
Okay, for further discussion, Representative Butler now moves the budget note to House Bill 5015, identifying that the Economic Development Commission will work with the Joint Trade Economic Development Committee and the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved.
Okay, Mr. Chair. The remaining item that you have in front of you is items 4 and 5, and essentially items 4 and 5 are the same thing. Item 5 lays out the hand and growth amendments that you have to the to House Bill 5015, which you have in front of you. So for the purposes of the committee, I will recommend item number 4, and the committee can act on that. My recommendation is that we adopt an agency budget of $2,973,449 general fund, $68,975,715 lottery fund, $10,963,815 lottery fund carryover, $60,844,418 other funds, $53,257,238 federal funds, $142,506,148 non-limited other funds, and 139 FTE. This is an increase of $16.7 million, 5.2% for the governor's budget. The increase results primarily from actions taken in House Bill 2153.
Okay, you've heard the recommendation. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chairman, what kind of percentage increase is it over the last biennial budget?
5.2%.
Okay.
For the governor's rec. On page 2 of my spreadsheet, you will see a series of boxes that lays out the changes to the current service level, to the governor's recommended budget, and to estimated expenditure for $7.99.
So is this a 28.18% increase from the last biennium?
From the current service level.
From the current service level.
And Ms. Moore, may I ask this one?
Yes.
That includes the $53 million of non-limited bonds, as well as the $17.7 million of the Columbia, additional Columbia money. And it's my understanding that it was severely cut in the prior biennium, too. So that 28% is a combination of a number of capital items as well.
Right.
Which are true community economic development issues that this department is responsible to and has oversight for.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it is not operating funds.
Right.
The primary increase is in the other funds and the non-limited funds category to reflect bonding.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Butler.
I move the recommendation for LFO.
Representative Butler now moves LFO recommendation item 4. You heard the motion earlier adopting the budget, general fund, lottery funds carryover, other funds, federal funds, and non-limited other funds. 139 FTE. And the increase results from action taken in House Bill 2153 to establish $20 million in bonding authority for two-state pipelines and increase the bonding authority for Columbia River channel deepenings by $7.7 million. The budget has a decrease of 2 FTE in the governor's budget, one for the cultural task force that was funded in House Bill 2005 and one general fund position in the progress score package that was deleted. Is there further discussion? Under E.
Mr. Chairman, under the discussion on the motion,
yes.
I just want to say that during the budget discussion, I was out of the room to testify on another bill, and I have a real concern about the housing rehab program. And I know Representative Butler has put in a budget note regarding the working of the Housing Department and Economic Development Department on the block grant funding for housing rehab. And I hope that the department will work together with the interested parties and look at the needs of the of the rural community in housing rehab and not cut the funding or change any rules without an agreement from interested parties. I think this is a very important issue, very cost effective to housing rehab, and I hope they do a survey on the needs before they make any changes.
Senator Yee, we have Mr. Weepon, the director, up, and the two agencies, Mr. Scott and Ms. Weepon, volunteered that regardless if their budget note was accepted or not accepted, they were going to work together. And they're going to try to define the parameters in which they can do and deal with the community development in rural communities on the house rehabilitation. So this is a high priority for them. They both indicated to that, and I think it reflects what your interest and desire is. Mm-hmm.
It will be sensitive to the needs of the community.
I have no reason to believe they won't be sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there further discussion? Is there objection to the adoption of the LFO recommendation on item 4? If not, it's been so approved.
Mr. Chair.
I tell your hands. All right. Be careful. You don't have that much rub.
Mr. Chair, and my motion was made notwithstanding Mr. Scott understands my objection to games of chance and increased lottery activities, and he is fully cognizant and aware of that, and I think there are members of the governor's staff here today that understand that, and the governor is equally as concerned that Oregon is becoming more and more dependent upon the games of chance and lottery, and for this purpose, I continue to express concern over these kinds of activities.
Thank you. LFO, Ms. Lamarck, would you like to do the last item, item 5?
I actually don't need to do that, Mr. Chair. It was just a summarization of the
Okay. Hand
and growth amendments. But what I really need is a motion to move it to full, to the full committee.
So move the due pass recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler now moves that the committee send out House Bill 5015 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Prior to taking the vote on the motion, is there anything else that needs to be addressed, Mr. Friel?
Mr. Chair, I don't think I've said everything we need.
Mr. Scott? Okay. the clerk will call the roll on sending the bill out to the full weight committee.
Aye.
Lynn?
Aye.
Duke?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Schrader?
Aye.
Butler?
Aye.
Passes?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Hi. The motion carries.
It carries.
Who would like to carry it? Representative Butler? And I can carry it on the same thing. Okay, we'll close the hearing on House Bill 5015 and open the public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 5545. For those that are new to Lake and Means, Senate Bill 5545.
When you say you should have copied what we do, it's going to say
Get it out.
Because I'm a constituent. When we lose this job, we don't get some kind of program.
Well, we'll open the hearing and work session on House Bill, or Senate Bill 5545. For those of you who are new, Senate Bill 5545 is a bill that is blank. And at the end of each legislative session, they take one appropriation bill that is blank in Ways and Means, and they insert expenditures that agencies have either overextended or need expenditure limitations for this biennium that expires on June 30th. This is that bill. It provides money to four different groups. One is ODOT, and it provides other funds under Chapter 675 of the 1997 legislative session. And you'll see the handout here that was handed out by LFO staff. The other one is the Board of Psychologists Examiners, $22,000. Next is the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, $6,500. Next is the State Police General Funds of $2,023,565. These items have already been heard and dealt with in other substantive committees. They were sent here because the largest portion of it relates to ODOT. But as an example, the police, state police was heard yesterday afternoon in the Public Safety Committee, and they recommended approval and sent it down here to our subcommittee so that we can incorporate it all in this one bill. So this is the catch-all bill for this session. Senator Kuta.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we will be going through the Oregon Department of Transportation issues that are Chapter 675, since this is a committee. And you may have done this. I apologize, because I have been in and out of this committee during the last few weeks here. Are you going to explain what this 20
million up and,
is about?
Explain what this
and about. What Chapter 675 is?
That was the transportation bill in the last session.
I see.
And it's a chapter that we're amending from the existing biennium to increase their expenditure authority. Ms. Carnington, would you like to come up, please? Yes.
Before you hear testimony from the agency, there is an error in the memo, and I need to correct that before you begin. On the Oregon Department of Transportation, the second item there, Chapter 675, 2, sub 3, should be $20 million. And you need to add Chapter 624.
20 million even.
Yes, 20 million even. Chapter 624, Section 1, Subsection 6, little c, and add $4,454,334.
$334.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 675 is the budget bill for the current biennium for the Department of Transportation. Chapter 624 is the capital construction bill where the Siskiyou rest area has a $1 limitation that is being increased. $4,454,334.
And that's...
Excuse me, $544. Okay. One error on top of another.
Okay. Grace, would you like to comment on these so that Senator Kutab could see what these relate to specifically for this lady?
Mr. Chairman, for the record.
Marsh up with you too.
Mr. Chairman, Grace Clinican, Director of the Area Department of Transportation. I think this is a good news story. I think both of these are good news stories. We had from the legislature the direction over the last biennium and over the interim to get more money out of administration and on the road, number one, and number two, to get the projects up and running. And that's what's happened here. We do have the cash available for this. This is an increase in the limitation. We move $11.5 million from administrative functions like central services, DMV, and motor carrier, which is a result of the efficiencies we've been working on and trying to reduce expenditures generally, and TDB, the Transportation Development Division. And then we asked for a drawdown on the next biennium's construction program of $8.5 million because we've been able to advance those projects in the STIP. So we both got the projects moving, and we've been reducing costs on the administrative side. That's what I'd say for...
Okay. Are there questions? Senator Chief, did you want to ask some questions on the whole?
So a drawdown. The drawdown is because you're already working on them?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chief, yes. The projects are in the STIP, and we've been able to advance the STIP. What happens is every month we figure out where we are on a cash flow basis, and ODOT's never been in a position, at least I'm told, that they've actually been ahead of what they thought their projections were for expenditures, and that's really attributable both to the work ODOT and the contracting community that's been able to get the money out on the road faster. So we've been trying to advance the project, and this advances $8.5 million from next time and takes the rest out of this biennium.
And then one further question.
Yeah.
The 11.5 and that you've gained through efficiency for the thing, these are going then to what? This 11.5 million is going to what?
It's going into the construction. We're moving it from those into the highway construction program and going to fund the project. So that's what I meant by out on the road. What we're actually, Mr. Chairman, Senator Kutub. Not exactly. This is to the overall cash management issue. They have about 500 projects going, and we look at where we are on the expenditure side and balance monthly. I would like to clarify, I know this is late, but we did this calculation in May, and in working with staff, it indicated that she didn't think that there would be a problem doing this. So if we, at this point, if you wanted to say no, we'd probably put on the brakes on the projects that are out there right now. It is in partnership with you, and we were following the directions to get our act together and get moving, and so that's what I think we did here.
Okay. Further questions? If not, you've heard the explanation what this budget bill is for. It's kind of a catch-all bill of this session to move into the next biennium, the increase in expenditure limitation. Is there any questions anybody has of ODOT? Is there any questions anybody has with the Board of Psychologists Examiners?
Do you have any questions with the psychologists examiners?
Yes, there are, if you'd like to ask them.
I just have one simple question.
Would you step aside, please, Grace? Welcome to the committee.
Good morning. My name is Beth Ann Darby. I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Psychologists Examiners.
This is, can you just briefly talk about the $22,000?
Sure. I'd be happy to. The Board is requesting an expenditure limitation for the 97-99 biennium, the amount of $22,000. $3,500 is for an increase in examination costs for the written examination that the Board gives every year. It's a pass-through cost only. It increased by $100 in April of 1999, and we have legislation that's passed through the committee for the next biennium, but that was not accounted for during the 97-99 biennium. And then the remaining costs have to do with attorney general fees. I'm the new executive director. I came on board in December of 97. There was a backlog of contested cases and hearing requests. We've done a good job of getting caught up, and unfortunately there are costs that go along with getting caught up, and it's resulted in an additional attorney general expenditure in the amount of $17,500.
Okay, further discussion. Thank you very much. Board of Natural Passage Examiner, you want to come up? Welcome to the committee.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Ann Walsh, the Executive Officer for the Natural Passage Examiner's Board. I'd like to request an additional $5,500 limitation for the 97-99 biennium. And then we should be set to go forward July 1st.
Was this part of the board's activity?
We had the, I took the position of executive officer January 1st, 1999. Kathy Soderbergh retired December 31st. Her retirement incurred a cost that wasn't originally anticipated in the budget for 97.
All right. Is there any questions? No, thank you very much. Representative Schrader, Representative Patrick, myself yesterday heard the presentation by the state police. The state police is adding some general funds to balance out some staffing levels for this biennium. They're going to look at disposition of some possible aircraft. And
in addition to the four we have already?
No, they're disposing of some aircraft.
Disposing, okay.
And
thank you. I was going to have a heart attack.
The budget was predicated on the fact that they would reevaluate what the Air Force, the state police has, and that the monies would be used to offset some savings the department is taking by pushing back by 30 days and 60 days the starting of recruit classes. And that brings the budget then into balance. This hole was found after the budget for the state police had been worked. And this request was mutually agreed upon by the co-chairs, working all weekend with the state police and determining where to make projected cost savings and how to do this.
Excuse me, Representative Butler. So I understand that in addition to the $20 million for the additional officers for this next biennium, we're also patching up a $2 million+ hole
for the
for this biennium.
This recommendation also includes a reduction to the budget that was in half of $1 million to offset the
$2 million.
No, $1 million.
One million net
increase, yeah.
But it will not impact the 100 officers.
Which come on and stagger 25-75.
Sure, it comes on as 25 and then 75.
Right, yes, sir.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir. I'm a little bit lost. They're going to sell a couple $1 million worth of aircraft? Is that?
I can't give you a number because I don't know. All I can tell you is that the indication was they're going to reevaluate what you use for their aircraft.
But that's the source of revenue for the shortfall?
Yeah, the potential source of revenue. Larry, would you like to?
Chair Hannon, committee members, in the department's mitigation plan, they identified the potential of, if they get necessary, to sell one of the helicopters and one of the 6-room airplanes for patrol. There may be other things that they may end up ultimately being able to do in the next biennium to avoid that, but if necessary, that's those are two items that would be sold to make up for the $1 million disappropriation. And that was done to try and hold any of the programs and funding for sworn officers on it.
I saw the $2 million figure here somewhere towards the end. Additional general fund of $2,023,555. So are we actually putting general fund into it, or are those other revenue sources like airplanes?
Sure, and Senator Duke, this is a general fund appropriation from the fund. $2 million is being provided at this time. But that's by disappropriating $1 million from the next biennium's budget, that's going to just increase the ending balance of the state's ending balance by that amount. So the net effect is we're effectively giving them a little over $1 million.
Coming out of the EE fund for next biennium?
That's the, basically the, yeah, the current biennium.
Oh, we, okay. We got money left in the emergency fund?
We are the emergency board.
Oh, okay.
Ways and means is emergency board during the session because there is no meeting of the emergency board.
Sure.
So part of this request went to the different standing committees in ways and means, and now we're in this committee to catch all and put in one bill. And don't be too surprised if you don't see some more blank bills appear before this committee and items inserted because that happens.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Butler.
What percentage is $2,024,000 of the total OSP budget on the biennium?
It's about $165 million general fund budget. So that's,
looks like a little over percent, 1% variation, a variance in effect of expenditure.
Representative, I draw your attention on the back page of that document. There's a section 2 at the top. We're actually disappropriating $1 million from the next item. So the net effect is about $1 million to take $2 million.
Right, right. I appreciate what's happening, but I just wanted to know what their last biennium had been.
Yeah.
And it's $160+ million. It's $2 million. A $2 million expenditure variation, the variance, is less than 1% of the total budget.
And yeah.
And that gives you some feel, if I may. That would give me some better feeling as an administrator looking at that and saying our variance is less than 1% from what our projection was 2+ years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
That's a pretty good indication of good management.
If I could just clarify, I thought you were referring to their 9901 general fund. Their 9799 estimated general fund is about $145 million.
So it's a little over 1% then.
Okay. Is there further discussion? The chair would move the amendments proposed by LFO to Section 1, Section 2, and Section 3, adding the emergency clause to Senate Bill 5545. Is there further discussion? If not, is there objection? It's been so approved. The chair would now move Senate Bill 5545 to the full Ways and Means Committee when they do pass recommendation. Is there a motion? Representative Butler moves the motion to the full Ways and Means Committee. Is there a discussion? If not, clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
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 Duke.
Aye.
Beck.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. And Senator Vince, would you like to turn to the Senate?
Sure.
Okay.
You think I can explain all these, huh?
Huh? Somebody well, I'll do it if, you don't, if you're not comfortable doing it. It doesn't matter.
I'll take it.
Okay. I'll help you with it.
Me. Thank you.
Representative Trader, would you like to turn it around?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, we'll close the public hearing and work session. from Senate Bill 5545 and reopen the hearing and work session on Senate or House Bill 2153.
Yes, it is. Mr. Chair, I had requested that Board Panwell perhaps walk through these amendments for the committee so that the committee understands what they have. What we have requested is that Council combine the various amendments that you had floating around in front of you that we were here. And so the amendments that you have in front of you have been consolidated and have been laid out in an order of priority. And take a
okay. Ms. Turnbull, would you come forward, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Doris Penwell from the Economic Development Department. I'll try to explain what is in the Dash 15 amendment that's before you. It amends Ann Gross House Bill 2153, which was the authorization language to sell lottery-backed bonds for certain kinds of investments by the state of Oregon. 2153 funds, it funds the $45 million for infrastructure, ports, facilities, et cetera, in the Economic Development Department budget. It funds the $17.7 million for the channel deepening, and it also inserts the funding for the Coos Bay pipeline. And I think that's the limit in A and Gross. And then the A and Gross language, it also then limits the Economic Development Department to selling of bonds up to a max of $70 million in the current biennium, with a provision that after the current biennium, further bonds could be issued if the legislature continues to provide that authority through this mechanism. The new amendments before you add back in, let's see, let's just go through section by section so you can kind of understand what's here. It adds in the incentive fund that is authorized under House Bill 2088 that I believe you have scheduled for a hearing or a work session today. And it's $25 million. And that's also added back in under the $70 million cap for the current biennium. Section 4 adds a $5 million ability to fund new state park lands in counties that are deficient of state parks. And that's within the $70 million cap also.
If I could ask you on section 4, I have some real serious heartburn on this because when we adopted the state parks budget, we put in $10 million for acquisition. Now we're putting in $5 million for a specific county and a specific park.
Mr. Chair, comment, sir?
Representative Schrader?
Appreciate the chair's indulgence. Actually, the amount for acquisition in that budget was only about $4 million in that particular budget. And this particular budget suggestion, Section 4, is not to target just the one county, but quite frankly, any deficient county. Marshall County is one that has been noted to have a serious deficit in the metro area. So we're trying to actually broaden it a little bit and provide money that is available, should it become available.
The money in here, if the bonds are not sold for the pipelines and the bonds are not sold for the dredging of the Columbia River, then does this maintain equality in the second order?
This bill sets up a priority for second, third, fourth, fifth.
So this is second, or third, or fourth?
It's the $45 million if needed. First, for general infrastructure around the state, then and the 17.7, then the 20, then the state parks, and then there's one other section that funds a regional advanced technology center. Now, that's all within the $70 million cap. it also allows the director to sort of keep track of the timing for sell a lottery deadline and report to the treasurer how we're doing, and making sure that we don't sell any bonds for any purpose before we actually need to spend the money, because we don't want to be penalized under arbitrage law as we have been in the past. So we want to be sure that the state isn't selling the bonds before they need them. The fact is that there is still some question about exactly when we will need the money for a number of these purposes. So as we move along during this next biennium, we'll have to keep very close track and coordinating among all the parties exactly when the monies will be needed in that priority order.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, where is the ordering and the prioritization within the bill itself? Is that under Section 1?
Actually, Representative Butler, the A.N. Gross House Bill 2153 had some language in Section 3, which now is Section 7, that has notwithstanding language that says we can only sell $70 million. And then it puts in order in Section 7 of these amendments. A little hard to read it.
Section.
Go to the A.N. Gross Bill, Section 3. It's now become Section 7.
Oh, Section 3 is
now four. Section 7 in the A.N. Gross Bill.
Okay.
And it puts in priority order the sections of these amendments, 1 to 5, to fit under the 70. And then the last amendment that I believe Ms. Lamont requested from Legislative Council yesterday, that I think helps the order of these things. It asks that the director report to the state treasurer when we have reached the max of selling of lottery bonds, so that nobody can move ahead until it's coordinated within the department's work with the treasurer and the various parties. Go to Section 9 of the amendments that are before you today. Frankly, I think the director of the department will be working with the governor's office and parties that are interested to make sure that these things go in the order they're needed, because we want to be sure that we can provide as much support to all the projects as possible in the order that's given in the bill.
Yes, Representative Beck, so it's conceivable that if the bonding capacity is not net, the $70 million is not net, it's conceivable that portions of the livability fund and the parks and the Southern Oregon community college needs, all those could be funded full or in part, and the directors would have sort of some shuffling discretion to figure out how much what the need is out there, work with the various agencies and the governor's office to accomplish that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, I believe the answer is really more in part rather than in full, because there is quite a number of bonding capacity here over time. But yes, that's where the question is, yes.
I'd like to call your attention to page 4 of the proposed amendment, starting on line 3, sub 3. The aggregate principal amount of lottery bonds issued pursuant to the section shall not exceed $10,167,000. Additional amount estimated by the state treasurer to be necessary to pay bond-related costs. The lottery bonds issued pursuant to this section shall be issued only at the request of the director of the Oregon State Fair. Why wasn't that Department of Administrative Services?
Mr. Chair, the State Fair funding, the lottery-backed bonds that are being sold here, are not part of the $70 million cap. So I guess the amendments were written to allow the director of the State Fair to request the treasurer to sell the bonds. The treasurer is the entity that sells the bonds.
Ms. Lamont, you were going to say something.
I was actually going to say pretty much the same thing. The
the lottery back bonding for the State Fair and Exposition Center is outside of the $70 million cap. The limitation is included in the capital construction bill, and it is under the direction of the Department of Administrative Services. So the trigger would be the request from the director of the Oregon State Fair, but ultimately the authority is the Department of Administrative Services and the treasurer.
That's fine. Senator Duke.
Things on lost again. Could somebody clearly lay out for us, I mean, are there any other extras in here that aren't under the $70 million cap?
Senator Duke, no.
Okay, so we've got about $73, $74 million in here, plus whatever it costs us to issue those. So we're going to get up pretty close to $100 million in here.
About $80 million. $72 million plus about $3 or $4 to do the bonded netterness. So you're looking at $75-76 million actually in total dollars.
Plus whatever.
Plus the $10 million for the state fair.
Net plus an $86 million.
Plus the interest that it costs us to pay these back someday.
Well, it shows here approximately $167,000.
And we're doing
about 10% of the total cost.
And we're doing community development and new state parks and building or something for an Oregon Community College in Southern Oregon, a regional advanced technology center, and some buildings at the state fair. Is that it? Did I miss anything?
Senator Duke, I had at one point handed out a fiscal impact statement, and I suspect it's probably not in front of you anymore, but the fiscal impact statement showed that $70 million cap, the total cost is going to be about $76.3 million, and then the state fair total cost is about $12 million.
So the state fair is on top of the $70 million as well? Okay. And so is the $3.45
million.
No?
Within the $70 million cap is the Coosay bonding, the $17.7 million for Columbia Channel deepening, the $45 million for the Economic Development Department. Then, when those priorities are met, any capacity is left within the cap, then it would be the Housing Initiative Fund, the park, and the Advanced Technology Center.
Am I missing a piece of my amendment? I don't have Tuesday or Challenges in there. Was that the last amendment we had?
That was already in the existing bill.
Okay, which I didn't see yet either. So
we're just adding these amendments to that.
Okay.
Is there further discussion?
Senator, you have the fiscal impact analysis.
It might be in the front of your book there.
Is that the one that shows $70 million?
Yes.
Okay.
On the county park, how much of that is committed to Washington County already?
Yeah.
Well, it sort of mentions Washington County in there, so I assume there had been a conversation someplace, because they're not the only ones within the state park.
Right. It was the way that there was the language, the money would be available for parks throughout the state, but there would be preference given to counties without campgrounds. That was the best way to handle park deficiency. And Washington County was given preference in a high growth county. There's no campgrounds. There's a lot of demand out there. There's demand all over the state, of course.
Columbia County doesn't have one.
But I think there's a whole...
Which is right next to Washington County, also high growth in
I think Minnesota. My sense of it in talking to people is that right now there are no projects available until you have the land. You can't... First, there has to be capacity. None of this makes sense to pass because the bonds may get fully utilized. If park projects come forward that are worthy of the department, and probably I think the legislature will have some say in this next session, this will occur in the next legislature, then if there was bonding capacity, theoretically, the bonds could be issued for a park. But it, you know, it may not even be in a park deficient county, but that's where there's some preference being given. Sure.
I just have one comment. There are some really good things in here, and there are things that, given if we had lots of money, that I'd be happy to see. I've had a concern for a long time about continued lottery bonding and more of it, and they said there wasn't going to be a Christmas tree this session. They were wrong. It's just a little one. But there'll be a bigger one.
Easter basket.
An Easter basket, okay.
Mr. Chairman,
at
my table, everybody gets a color egg.
Cindy.
How long are these bonds going to be? Is this a 10-year bond, 15-year bond?
It's my understanding that it's 15 years.
15 years. From the information I've gathered so far, the interest payment is always about 50% of the bonding. By the end of 15 years, if you add up all the interest payments, it comes to about 50% of the value of the bond. So I think Mr. Refine is nodding his head. So we're paying a lot of money for these bonds, and I think the future legislature plans are tied by all these repayments every year.
Well, the bond limitation contained in this bill is a limitation that was established by the House leadership, and the House leadership agreed to expand it by the $10 million from the state fair. And all session long, the House leadership has advocated not exceeding $70 million on additional bonding authority. So if the members want to know where this figure arrived from, it arrived from the Senate President and the Speaker's office to set this figure. This is not an arbitrary figure that was thought up by staff or agencies or anybody else. So the $70 million was a figure that the House leadership and the Senate leadership put on this, and the $10 million actually was to accommodate the state fair. So, Representative Beck,
I just want to add, too, I think, and partially, you know, maybe in response to Senator Duke, many of these proposals were part of the original governor's budget. I mean, the governor had this livability fund. It was funded somewhere else. The Coos Bay pipeline, it came later, but early on in the session. The dredging has been a proposal all along. The parks, you know, there's been an ongoing dispute about whether parks have been adequately funded or not. For some of us, this helps potentially fill some of the shortfall that we feel has been made, created the state park. So I don't, and of course the state fair was part of the governor's budget as well. So some of these are maybe a, call it a Christmas tree if you want, but it's just, it's sort of a shuffling of how to fund some needs that have already been identified out there in many respects that we haven't funded through other parts of the budget. That's how I look at this.
And I feel your pain.
You feel his pain bad enough to give him a Hawaii State Park or Tucker Creek Park?
By the way, the security colleague in Southern Oregon is not in my district. If it's in the insurance sort of that. It's in the Senate President's district. And
is it anywhere near those parks? It must be time for me to leave.
I don't know. I'm not going to make any comment. But this was signed on by the co-chairs and said this was fine. So all I know is that higher authority than God. So okay then.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Yee.
I see that the State Fair has a $10.1 million bond here.
Yes.
But have we received a long-range management planning from them? Because they come back every session, they have a deficit, and they want to have capital investment fund, they want increase in management fund. So have you heard how they're going to pay back this bond?
Yes, if you'll recall, when we had the budget for the State Fair, they're going to be reporting back with a management plan to the emergency board and come in with a strategic plan on how they want to get participation by City of Salem, Marion County, and then possibly going out and selling subscriptions to the private industry to raise the money for additional repairs to the fair facilities as a means of sponsoring different buildings or activities. So we dealt with that in their budget. All this does is grant the $10 million bonding authority so they can go ahead and issue the bonds to have them available, and they still have to come back to the board.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have asked for a management plan for their management of the future. So
and they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it. They're working on it.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one.
Well, it's because they're working on it right now, and that's the reason it's not here. But they will be reporting back to the e-board.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
In as much as this particular A-15 amendment goes beyond the fiscal issues and really touches on some substantive, including ordering priorities in which certain things will be done and developing how the bonds will be sold and under what authority and under whose direction and after what else transpires, it probably wouldn't be, I like the idea, I really do, of making sure that that we look at county or that we look at states or counties within the state that do not have state park campgrounds. I think that's an excellent addition, recognizing that there's no money necessarily available in addition to the $4 million or $4 or $5 million that we set aside earlier in the Parks and Recreation. But I do wonder the same as Senator Yee, and that is there any language that we could do to encourage this State Fair and Exposition Center director to seek out opportunities to work with our private partnerships, Marion County and Salem and Kaiser, because it is a substantial economic activity for that particular region.
We addressed that with a budget note in the State Fair and Exposition.
Oh, okay.
Budget. We had a budget note that we dealt with that
thing
and require them to report back to you.
The other thing, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just a reminder that 2153 is the authorization for the bonds. The limitation for the expenditure for economic development was just adopted in their budget. For the State Fair and Exposition Center, it will be in the capital construction budget. So, you know, if there are conditions under which you want that limitation spent, that would be the appropriate place to deal with it. Plus, since we have not finished the State Fair budget, comments or a budget note in their budget would also be appropriate, but they will not have the limitation for this bonding in their budget.
Representative Butler.
Just to confirm, and Representative Schrader and I have looked this through together just now after making to make sure that I understand correctly, on page 4, the bottom of page 4 and the first 7 lines of page 5, basically orders items 1 through 5 for the use of the lottery bonds, and it's notwithstanding section 3, that it would be used for items 1 through 5, which would include all of those priority issues that we have heretofore mentioned, and then any remaining funds would then be available after that, so that we would take care of the issues for the Coos County. Is the Coos included in 1-5? It's there. Okay. All right. So we would take care of all of those issues, and take care of all of the items which we have authorized pursuant to Ms. Lamont's LFO report for the $70 million plus the issuance cost.
Okay.
I'm satisfied. Thank you very kind. I appreciate it.
Further questions?
So,
Senator Yee?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Lamont is saying that the authority for the bonding for the fair is there, but the management plan about how they will repay it is not, we're not going to receive it until the minimum report.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill deals specifically with the authority to issue the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
The criteria under which you are willing to give the agency limitations to receive the bond proceeds and the lottery fund expenditure limitation to pay debt service are handled in other bills. So if there are criteria that you wish to impose on the agency having to do with bonding, they should be taken care of in other bills. There will be no budget report on this bill.
It will be taken care of in their budget.
In their budget.
Right.
And the budget is still pending.
That's correct.
Ms. Schrader. Ms. Reed Pines.
Mr. Chairman, just a technical question. Ms. Lamont talked about the limitations for the component that affects me, the $25 million. If I remember serves you correctly, in our budget bill, there is no, the limitation was taken out, and I don't know what other vehicle you would, so that piece needs to be thought about to make this a reality. It could be through the e-board, I suppose, limitation approval. But we don't have anything that, as you talked about other bills, that have a vehicle that constitutes the triggering of the activity.
My suggestion would be the next bill that you have coming up, which is 2088.
Go ahead and put it in there, possibly.
That would be my recommendation.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Representative Schrader now moves the amendments to House Bill 2153, identified as A15, dated 6/15/99. Is there further discussion?
Well,
Senator Eve?
I'm not comfortable with all the lottery bonds. If I say I want to know the...
Okay. Why don't we take a roll call then? No, they want to move on this today. We can hold off till December if you want.
You don't have
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Would you go get the picture in? David, I'm merging the sessions to this outside. Yeah, you can't consider your experience meeting up now.
What did I do?
Okay, bring in the...
I've been well-behaved 95% of the time.
I'm trying to get him to take Hawaii State Park and start having a state park for Washington.
Go for it.
We'll for 3 days.
That's
fine. They've been negotiating for at least 6 years. The big issue right now is the warehouse and the warehouse.
I don't care. Committee will come back to order, and we will adjourn the work session on House Bill 2153 because of lack of a quorum.
Carry it
over to some point in the future. So another body arrives. We're on a work session.
I just want to say I support the deepening of the channel, but the other ones I am not.
That's fine. Okay. Welcome to the hearing and work session on House Bill 2088, Community Development Incentive Fund Project. Mr. Fine, welcome back.
Chairman, I am Bob Lee, Director of Housing Community Services. The bill that you have in front of you was a bill that was referred from Representative Wilson's committee. And it basically sets up the framework for the delivering of the product as you as a committee have debated just moments ago in another bill dealing with the Community Incentive Fund for the state of Oregon. It is the framework of, or the nuts and bolts, if you would, of how the
you can propose most things.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Fine. Sorry for the interruption with that.
Again, Mr. Chairman, this committee will see what the bill is attempt to do is to lay out the process of which the Community Incentive Fund would be established. It talks about the creating of a, an advisory group that comes from a variety of backgrounds related to the investment of communities in downtown areas specifically that you'd find on page 3. And gives you the kind of the breadth of the people that will be involved in this. It also talks about what their charge and obligations will be to qualify and quantify the definition of what projects would be eligible for this incentive fund, and then consider those projects as they're brought forth for funding applications. I think a couple things that are of noteworthiness that you as a committee member should see is this bill on page 2 on line 30 also talks about this to be grants and loans. I think this is a somewhat of a change in some regards. That the goal here is possibly, in many ways, is to make this a continuum account or a revolving account that monies can be used for a loan applications to get a project in place or secure a property so that in the final financial takeout of whatever this development might be, that money could be recaptured and put back into the pool so it could be taken out again. We realize that there will be times where it will have to be a grant. It's just going to be part of bridge gap financing. It has no way to cover the debt or recover those investments. But the goal, I think, in the spirit of this, is to try to create also a vehicle that, where appropriate, when funds can be recaptured and put back into circulation, that we would accomplish that also.
Question. Representative Beck.
If the lottery money, the livability fund, is tapped to fund some infrastructure project or housing project or loan under these purposes, and with the goal eventually getting the state getting that money back, does that create a problem with the lottery money? Can we use lottery money in a revolving manner like this, or if you conceivably could set up a $25 million revolving fund for some of the purposes outlined here, is that okay? Would we run into any problems with the bond people of the world if we do it that way?
Representative Beck, not to my knowledge, I don't think it's not uncommon. A lot of dollars have been used in other revolving accounts before. Lottery dollars. I don't know whether or not lottery back bonds have been used that way, but I don't think that I don't think it would present a problem.
Just want to make sure the bonding element. It is one thing when it's a cash grant from the lottery, but if we're borrowing money to use as a potentially permanent revolving fund, whether that creates any problems over time.
Good question.
Okay. Further questions. Is there anything else you'd like to make comment on?
Mr. Chairman, only in closing that, again, this is this bill and this 2088 is to show how we can strengthen downtown presence, how we can preserve our downtowns in both our rural areas and distressed communities, how we can, as a state, reinvest in those communities to bring some life back to them. It's very difficult in today's economy, as you as from your own districts realize that downtown rehabilitation of some older buildings is, in many cases, is very cost prohibitive. But you also notice that there is another floor generally above most of those commercial frontages on your main streets that have the same roof that keeps Store Drive is above them, keeping the potential residential area dry. And it gives us a chance to make good use of existing inventories and bring some vitality back to downtown. For small communities, the scenario would be instead of having the town roll up at 5 o'clock because all the business people have left and there's nobody who's going to do business downtown after 5, if you have people then once again residing downtown, it would maybe prompt the drugstore to stay open till 7, to maybe keep banks open till 5:30 so people that come home to the downtown area can make their deposits. So once again, it becomes a tool that would improve quality of life for Oregonians.
Okay. Representative,
at what point will the program guidelines, including specific project criteria, be developed as referred to in Section 7?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schrader, it's envisioned that it takes probably, first of all, in the original plan for the lottery-backed bonds, the issuance of those bonds was not to take place until the second half of the biennium. In any regard, it was envisioned that within that first year or in the passage of this bill, that we would start setting the framework in place so we would have about a year's time to develop the concepts and the strategies that would be the framework for the incentive plan.
Yes.
That would be July of 2000 then?
That would be approximately correct.
Okay, is there further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2088?
Mr. Chairman, the only other comment I might have is the issue that I had with Ms. Lamont, whether or not we would be making a limitation available, and I don't know how you wanted to craft that.
Anyway. Yeah, well, we were just talking about that. Staff and I will prepare an amendment on that of a $300 limitation, and then come back to each one for an extension limitation based upon bonds available to suspend, if that's okay.
Are we going to pay per diem or anything for the advisory board members?
This refund, it indicates you're going to meet 10 to 12 times.
Mr. Chairman, I think there is a section in there that is somewhat boilerplate language. It talks about compensation for the advisory committee can be considered under normal conditions. Again, the vision is that this advisory committee will stand together for the period of time of the creation and the vision, but then somewhat slip off into the sunset as that work has been completed, so it'll be a short duration of time. It's not a continuing advisory board from this period forward. There is a section in there, Senator E, that talks about the compensation. On page 3, line 24, it states, all members of the advisory board are entitled to compensation as provided under Oregon Revised Statutes 292 for actual and necessary travel expenses incurred in the performance of the board's duties.
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal impact is not included in the fiscal risk analysis, or is it already included?
The $43,000
is in the fiscal.
The $43,000 includes the per diem. Expenses?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that is to pay for the funds to buy an SEE.
I don't have that number.
It's the fiscal impact statement. It's copy right here. Chairman of the CDD agency expected that it would take some staff time to provide support to the advisory board that 0.25 FTE probably would be absorbed within their workload.
Oh,
the 43,000, as I understand, 40, 4692. Okay. Covers primarily the, I think, the cost of that FTE and the per diem and cost of the advisory board.
Mr. Chairman, personal services would be the staff person at $16,900, and then services and supplies would be probably the per diem recovery for the members.
And that's stated in the very last sentence of the
statement.
Okay. No, thank you, Mr. Leapine. Georgine?
Yes.
We'll open the public work session on House Bill 2088.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have distributed the memo and attached the fiscal impact statement on the last staff measure summary. You can see it came out of the House Committee on Agency Performance and Operations with a 7-0 vote. Mr. Repines has done an excellent job of explaining it, and you've discussed in House Bill 2153 the potential for resources for this legislative fiscal office would recommend your approval of the bill. My memo says without expenditure limitation, and I am amending that to say with expenditure limitation of $1. When the housing budget was passed by the subcommittee, we removed the expenditure limitation for the incentive fund, so they have no limitation or no authority to spend that money in their bill. We would need to put some measure of expenditure limitation in this bill so that once they got resources from the sale of the lottery bonds, they could come back to the emergency board and have that amount increased to whatever amount they need at that time.
Okay. Representative Schrader first.
I'm just going to move that amendment to the House Bill 2088-A that we have dated June 14th, 1999.
Okay. Representative Beck. Okay. You heard the motion, the LFO, and to make these following adjustments that would delete the language that calls for no limitation to include a $1 limitation for the Community Development Center project fund, so that they'd be able to come back to E-Board and get expenditure authority to spend and receive these funds. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, the legislative fiscal analysis on page 2, The total expenditures relative to this are those general funds.
They're other funds.
Other funds. And the source of the other funds, I'm sorry.
They're probably bonded, bond money.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Representative Beck.
Move House Bill 2088-A with amended LFO recommendations to the floor or
full ways
and means committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Beck now moves House Bill 2088-A as amended to the full ways and means committee. Is there further discussion,
Mr. Chair? Representative Beck. I just want to, for the record, say that this is one of the better bills, and when the piece of legislation, I'm most happy to be working on it. I wish I had been on the other committee to work on it, but I had a similar bill introduced which outlined some of the same goals. And I will say, with Bill Scott in the room here, since I used to work with Bill a long time ago, he has a lot to do with my interest in these sorts of issues when I was young in the world, and he knows those days very well. It's fitting that we memorialize or that I'm still working on things that we're all still interested in.
Okay, is there further discussion? Is there objection to passing House Bill 2088-A as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee? Not, it's been so ordered. And we stand adjourned until 8 a.m. tomorrow. House Bill 2153 will be take them up again tomorrow, and if the necessary votes are here, we'll do something with it. So we are adjourned for the day.